To begin, it gives me great pleasure to introduce the Honorable Peter Fassbender. I had the pleasure of working with him on the UBCM executive, and I always appreciated his thoughtful comments and his work on our behalf at that level, and so it's a real pleasure for me to be introducing him today. Minister Fassbender was elected MLA for Surrey Fleetwood in May of 2013. In July 2015, he was appointed Minister of Community, Sport and Cultural Development and Minister responsible for TransLink. He previously served as Minister of Education and currently serves the Cabinet Committee on Secure Tomorrow. Prior to his election to the Legislative Assembly, Peter served as a councillor for the City of Langley before being elected Mayor in November of 2005, 2008, and 2011 civic elections. So please help me welcome our former colleague, Minister Peter Fassbender.
you're at an elevated level.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Rona, and I'm not a former colleague. I hope I am still a colleague. We may have different responsibilities, but we are all here in our positions to support our communities and our taxpayers. So that's why I'm here, and I'm delighted to be a part of this. I'm also delighted to be on the traditional territories of the Musqueam Nation, and I always celebrate our First Nations brothers and sisters and the work that they do in our neighboring communities. And as you know, we as a government are working very hard to fulfill the principles coming out of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And a lot of that is going to come down to community relationships as well. So I know all of you work very hard to build those relationships and to find a path to the future in British Columbia. I want to say I bring greetings from Premier Clark, who was just recently in Ottawa, and she and a number of ministers, Minister Rustad, Minister Coleman, and Minister Bond, were back there meeting with the federal government. And again, we have what I think is a unique opportunity in Canada to build a different relationship with the priorities that the new federal government has put in place, and we're working hard as your provincial representatives to do that. I also bring greetings from the other members of our cabinet and caucus. We are moving into the next session next week in Victoria. We're not taking over Ottawa, don't worry. We are leading the country, though, in economic growth, and will do for the next 3 years. So I think all of you can be proud of the work that you're doing in communities to support our economy and where we're going. When I was asked to come here, having sat in those seats listening to speakers and having listened to ministers speak, I thought, what could I share with you today? And I'm going to use a little example from this morning that I think sets the tone for what I'd like to share. And I'm going to leave some time for some questions, because I always think a dialogue is better than a monologue. So I'm going to just sort of set the context. I just came from an event over at the Olympic Oval, and those of you that haven't had a chance to be into that facility, you need to go over and see what they've done with one of the greatest legacies that came out of the 2010 Olympics, aside from the gold medals that British Columbians and Canadians won in the 2010 Olympics. The Richmond Oval, excuse me, is an amazing facility that was designed to leave a legacy in a multi-purpose use that lives well beyond the Olympics. But I was there this morning announcing an MOU that we've signed as the province of British Columbia, the first province in the country to do this, with the Canadian Olympic Association, the Paralympic Association, the Own the Podium group, and Via Sport. And why am I bringing that up here? Well, it is an example of what I believe is change that's taking place in our governance structures here in the province, and I hope in the country, and as we work together in local communities, where we're taking down some of the barriers and some of the silos that have existed for a long time, and we're recognizing that we can never do it alone. We as the provincial government can't do what we need to do without the local governments, and local governments can't do it without your volunteers and all of the agencies and the people that work in your communities. And what that is all about is building relationships and partnerships on how you can join forces to achieve a goal. And I know this Leadership Academy, having been here before, is all about providing all of you with the tools that may help you as you are on your journey in local government and your relationships with your communities, with your fellow council members and mayors, and with your staff. And I stand here having been a locally elected mayor and having sat at a table, and I can tell you, when I was first elected, I wasn't the favorite son of some of my fellow councillors. We didn't necessarily always see eye to eye prior to my becoming a member of council and then ultimately as mayor. But when I was elected as mayor, I sat at the table and I said, we are now here as a team, in my opinion. And that doesn't mean when you're a team that you have to agree on every single element or every single approach. As a matter of fact, diversity of opinion and diversity of approach to issues is fundamental to the job that you've been elected to do and that I've been elected to do. My job as mayor is slightly different in terms of the responsibilities that I have both statutorily and practically in ensuring that we have good order and good government in our council meetings and that we keep our eye on the ball, and that is the taxpayers that we serve. And so this morning at the event, I saw organizations where there were differences in the past and there was a different approach and there was barriers for cooperation between them, not because they didn't have the same basic goal, but the approach was different. And today we announced the signing of that MOU, which is the first in the country, because I believe that we need to break down barriers and silos. We need to find levels of cooperation and participation so that we can ensure that the taxpayers we all serve get the best bang for their buck that we can give them. Now, I'm also a realist. I happen to be in politics. You might not have known that, but it is true. So are all of you. And I know that not all of us agree philosophically on issues, politically on issues, and those kinds of things. But I think there's a couple of things that are really important. Is when you disagree, you need to do it with respect. When you have different points of view, you need to listen as much as you need to share your point of view so that you hear the total picture. And then you make decisions, as you all know, and I'm not telling you anything that may be new to you, but I think the process to get to that is really important, and how you treat each other is very important. So as I said, when I was elected mayor, there was a number of the councillors who didn't support my candidacy as a mayor. But my message to them when we first met is we are now the council for our community. We need to work together. We need to disagree. We need to debate. We need to find the path to solutions as opposed to being mired in challenges and problems. And that's not always easy to do because emotions come up, and I've heard all of the stories over the years that I've been involved in local government even before I was, where there have been some significant disagreements at council tables that have become, I think, acrimonious at times, where they lose sight of who they are there to serve. And so my challenge to myself as the minister responsible now for community, sport, cultural development, with the little add-on called TransLink, and I'm also working now on something called Uber and where that might go, and it's all good stuff. And I welcome the challenges. But, you know, I know that there are lots of challenges we all face. But I challenge all of you to do everything you can as you deliberate in your communities to work together as a team, to look at what your community needs by listening to your community, working with your stakeholders in your community, and then making decisions. And once the decision is made, and this is something that I've learned, whether you like the decision or not, it's a decision. And once it becomes a decision of council, your responsibility as a council member or a mayor is to support that decision. You may not like it, but it is a decision of council. And I've seen too many times in my past, and I'm speaking from personal experience, so I'm not up here, suggesting that I have all the answers, and I'm not suggesting I was always perfect at this. But one of the things that I really focused on all the time was how do we debate issues in a respectful manner, listen to each other, disagree with each other with respect, and get on with the job that the people elected us to do. And so I think it's really important, and I know I've spoken to Tara Faganello, who is here. I was talking to Gary Padgett, who's still here, about, what message can I give you today? And that message is we have some amazing opportunities in this province, and we have amazing challenges. I'm not going to stand here and say that the government is going to have a blank check that we're going to be able to dole out and meet all of the needs that I know are out there in communities. I don't talk like that. I don't think like that. But I do tell you, as I did at UBCM, those of you that were there in my address, because I've had the unique experience of being in the position that I've been in my past, my commitment is to work with you, to work with UBCM executive, and Al Richmond is here this morning as well. And we haven't always agreed on a couple of issues that are still out there. But you know what? I respect the work that the UBCM executive does on your behalf. I sat at that table. We had good debate and good discussion. But every one of the members that still is there, that was there when I was, said, we miss you. And that was what I did. I said, really? But it was because we respected each other, because we debated issues together and we worked in a positive environment for the benefit of all of our local governments. And that was so important to me. And I think it's important as we move forward. British Columbia is going to lead the country in economic growth over the next 3 years. And that's not a pipe dream. It's not an LNG promise. It is the reality of our diverse economy, which is fueled by a lot of the people in your communities, the medium to small businesses. But we're going to do that, and we're going to continue to keep our eye on that ball. And LNG will happen. It's a promise I make to you. But I'm not going to tell you it's going to happen 2 months from now or 3 months from now, because the world has changed from the day we started down the LNG road. But here's a message for you. We're ready to take advantage when the corporations that need to make the investments are ready, and we have the ability to move forward for the benefit of all British Columbians. But we've got a diverse agricultural economy. We have one of the fastest growing sectors in the tech sector. Our skills and jobs blueprint that Shirley Bond, Amrick Virk, and I announced a year and a half, 2 years ago is starting to bear fruit in training young people for careers. And I don't talk about trades, or I talk about careers no matter what path they take, so that they have a great future and they're going to be living and staying and working in your communities and helping to build your communities as well. So our challenge will be as a group to work together, to keep our eye on that objective. And if our economy continues to perform the way it has, every one of us is going to benefit. It means that we have more resources in communities, in the province that we can share and build our education system, our healthcare, our social services net, and all of the other things that we clearly know we need to be a province that is going to be the envy of the rest of the country. And I am proud to be a member of a team that is doing the best we can. And we will continue to keep our eye on that ball. We're going to have the fourth balanced budget announced on the 16th of February. We are going to bring in measures that are going to help relieve some of the pressures that people are feeling day in and day out in their lives as best we can, without mortgaging our future to the point that we're actually creating another dynamic that we don't want to. And so we're going to be disciplined. We're going to continue to be fiscally responsible, as I know all of you are. And please understand, I know the challenges you face around your council tables and in your communities. I'm not oblivious to it. I don't have all the answers to it, and I don't have all of the resources to be able to relieve all of those challenges. But again, I think if we work together, when we do have the ability to free up more resources, we'll do that. And the example I want to show you is when we negotiated with our public sector unions, 80% of them settled, including the teachers, the longest negotiated settlement in the history of the province. Some people say it was the longest strike in the history of the province, but it went over the summer. But we got the longest negotiated settlement so we have stability, so we can make the educational reforms that we know every one of the families in this province wants to see for the benefit of their kids. But when we negotiated those, we built in a clause and we said, if the province outperforms the baseline when we've negotiated this settlement, we are going to pay dividends to every member of every union that has settled with us under those terms. And ladies and gentlemen, the first checks are in the mail. They're not big, but they are a delivery of a promise that we want to share the performance and the wealth of the province with those people who contribute to keeping that moving. And that's the kind of thinking that we have. It's the kind of thinking I believe you need at the table when you make your decisions. I want to thank the Local Government Leadership Academy for the great work that they do in providing you the tools and the ideas. And I would only ask you, it's nice to come to conferences and say, that was great. It's what you do with what you get when you get back home and you get into the day-to-day and sit around the table and face the pressures and the feedback you get from your community. But I challenge you to take the principles you've heard, apply those day in and day out, and I know that you will do a great job. I'm delighted to be the minister responsible, and I will say, I still believe I'm one of your colleagues. I want you to think of me that way. Whether you like all the decisions I make or not, that's not important. I'm doing it because I believe it is the right thing, and I'm not afraid to make decisions, neither is our government. But we will continue to work with you through UBCM, and as I travel the province and meet with you individually. I have a great team in the ministry, led by Tara Faganello as the ADM of local government, Jackie Dawes, the new deputy minister, and the team around them are here to help you. If you need the help, you need to ask, and we're there for you. If you want advice on something, we're happy to provide that, and what you do with it is your choice, of course. But we respect the role and the responsibilities of local government. So thank you for this opportunity. I think we have time for questions, which I'm more than happy to answer, and I'm sure there's a couple of microphones. Oh, dear. Ask and you will receive. So I guess I'm going to do the traffic here. So we'll start over here on my right.
Thank you very much. My name is Carol Day. I'm a Richmond City Councillor, and thank you for coming to the Oval today. That was very much appreciated. Very exciting announcement. Well, as you know, the cities, especially in Metro Vancouver, but not just Metro Vancouver, have been adversely affected by skyrocketing house prices. And in some instances, prices have gone up 30 to 40% in 1 year. Like, it's just out of control. And I'm wondering what steps that the provincial government is entertaining to get control of what's happening. We've heard rumors about things like luxury taxes, vacancy taxes, controlling foreign ownership, and just wondered if you could enlighten us as to what's happening in Victoria so that we can maybe sleep a little bit better at night.
Well, I'm not sure I'm going to help you necessarily sleep better at night, but I will tell you this. We're very aware of the pressures and the challenges, and it's not just in the metro areas. No. We see those challenges throughout the province. Sometimes for different reasons, but they are there. So the bottom line for us is that we're looking at a number of initiatives. There's been ideas that have been brought forward. I don't have an answer for you what legislatively or from a tax point of view. When the budget is announced, I believe Minister De Jong will be including in his budget. And I don't know all the details of the budget yet myself. But I can assure you of this. It is not gone by us, the pressures that we're seeing. But I think one of the things that we need to remember, because of how well British Columbia has done and is doing, we're a very attractive province for people to come. When I was up in Fort St. John, I had some people say to me, you know, I'm really concerned you're going to build Site C, and I see all these Alberta plates. Are you hiring British Columbians? And I said, well, they may be Alberta plates, but I can guarantee you a lot of them are British Columbians that are coming back to work in British Columbia who happen to have bought a truck because they made good money when they were on board Alberta. So we're looking at all of the options we can, building the economy, getting people good-paying jobs, keeping us moving ahead is one of the things that we have done, will continue to do. But we are looking at some of those other options that have been presented. But I can't give you an answer that we're zeroing in on this at this point. We are looking at all of them.
If I can just follow up slightly, like if you take house construction out of the mix, our economy isn't doing quite as good as, you know, it's kind of a false economy is what a lot of people are saying, because house construction is such a big part of what's happening, certainly in Lower Mainland. And meanwhile, you don't have to drive anywhere other than Richmond or Vancouver, and you see ghost towers and ghost houses that sit empty. And they are simply a place to park money. And so if you take construction out of the mix, really, how good is our economy doing locally?
Well, the reality is you can't take construction out of the mix, because construction reflects an economy that's moving and people's interest in investing, whether it is individuals in their homes. And, you know, you look downtown, and I've heard the stories, and we're looking at the numbers and trying to get a handle on what is the reality of foreign investment and the impact it's having. We're looking at that. But I can tell you, when you go outside of downtown Vancouver or some of the more densified metro areas, and you look out in the Langleys and the Abbotsfords and up in Kelowna and other communities, there is growth happening there because we've invested in significant opportunities for growth. And that's driving house construction. So, you know, they're creating jobs. Without house construction, electricians, plumbers, pipe fitters, all of the people who helped to build those structures wouldn't have a job. So it's a combination of all of those things. They're not isolated, but I can tell you that the people who look at British Columbia, the financial people who look at us, say it is your fiscal policy, maintaining your balanced budget, keeping your credit rating, that is keeping your economy moving, and there are small to medium businesses in each one of your communities that are thriving because we have a robust economy.
Thank you, Mr. Minister. Ken Christian, I'm a councillor in the city of Kamloops. Appreciate your optimism.
You have a fan club behind you.
Arjun is always with me. He's got my back. I appreciate your optimism about the British Columbia economy, but one of the things that has recently concerned me is the opposition that Cabinet has put forward to the National Energy Board with respect to the Kinder Morgan pipeline. Certainly the taxation benefits of that line and the job benefits for Kamloops and the Thompson-Nicola Regional District are tremendous, but moreover, the issues of environmental safety as opposed to the current rail and truck transport of oil from Alberta to the port of Metro Vancouver would, to me, indicate that we should be supporting this kind of a development. And I'm curious about that position of Cabinet.
Well, let me answer it very simply. We ran on a platform of five conditions that needed to be met in order for British Columbia to support any development in terms of expansion of oil pipelines and shipping out of the ports in British Columbia. We stand by that. The Premier has been very clear. Minister Polak has been very clear. So we haven't shifted or changed. And when we said that Kinder Morgan did not meet the five criteria, that's what Minister Polak said. She didn't say forever. It was no. As long as we have the assurance that the five conditions, including the relationship with our First Nations communities, are met, that we will support expansion at that time. But we are not going to back off on the key criteria that were put there. And we're still working with Kinder Morgan to make sure. And even the officials from Kinder Morgan said when the announcement was made of our position, it was based on those five principles. We didn't change anything. We didn't add anything new. It remains the same. And I remain optimistic that we can find a path where those conditions can be met and that, again, we can do that. And I think shipping oil in rail cars is a challenge. We've seen it across North America, and we need to be cognizant that that is a huge issue as well.
Thank you.
Morning.
Hi. Donovan Cavers from Kamloops.
Kamloops, is he your
yeah,
friend?
Yeah, no, I know.
You're separated by...
I appreciate your response because he and I disagree quite strongly on the previous topic. From what I was told by the CEO of Trans Mountain is that the rail lines will not, like, all of that capacity is not coming off of the rails. It's
no.
just added capacity. Anyway, the issue that I wanted to bring up, we have a mine proposal, which you're quite well aware of, on the border of Kamloops. The application's now in, so there's a clock that's being started on that application. Within, basically by the summer, we'll know whether that's approved or not. We've been in discussions with you and your office about the New Gold Mine, which basically would set a precedent for whether the city could annex the potential Ajax mine into the city. I'm wondering, given that we now are in this clocked period, is that going to become more of a focus for your office? Is there anything you can...
Well, it is a focus. As you know, I came up, toured the site. I had a look at all of the implications, met with council, talked to the senior executives of the Gold Corp, and talked to them about, you know, relationship. One of the things that I think is important for government is to encourage, as I talked at the beginning of my talk, that relationships are built within communities, with the corporate sector, to find a path to solution. I think the worst thing that we can do as government is when we start imposing our solution on local governments or on the corporate sector. We are there to help facilitate that, and that was the offer that I put on the table. And when I met with the CEO, I asked one question. I said, have you met with the mayor and the council? And he had never met with you at that point, and I think a meeting followed.
Our staff would be in touch with their staff, but we haven't made it very far.
So, you know, for me, what's important is communities, that's where the effects of things that we do are felt. I don't feel the effect day in and day out sitting in my constituency in Surrey or in Victoria in the legislature. But I do understand that communities have diverse opinions on that. We as government, people like Gary and Tara and our team within our ministry are willing to help facilitate, to find a path to an answer that will meet the needs of both of the parties if we can do that. But it is your place to ask us for the help, not for us to come in and say, you're going to do it this way because we think we know better than you do.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I very much appreciate your government's position on the Trans Mountain pipeline.
So, Mr. Minister, thank you very, very much for your remarks this morning. And I really want you to know that as local government leaders, we really appreciate it when you take the time to come to these events and speak to us. We know that you're very busy, but it does mean a lot to us, even if you can only be here for a few minutes. So please, on behalf of the Local Government Leadership Academy, thank you very much for attending.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good to see you. Thanks a lot.